all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life.
Sacrifice. ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Live in studio. Darren.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? Last time I got into Royals baseball and you got upset because I didn't ask how you were doing first. So, Darren, how are you doing?
It's just show etiquette, man.
Well, I get into stuff.
Yeah, I see. Doing much better than Hunter Dozier is, but not as good as Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Kim Mulkey, and a few others are going to be doing tomorrow. So, doing pretty good, man. Glad to be in studio, waiting on. I know we're going to have another interruption because I'm waiting on Josh Briscoe to come back in here and get his.
He's coming in here.
Well, he's going to have to because he's going to need to get his plug for his computer.
Nah, leave it. That's his now. You get to keep it. That's how it works.
I don't even have a Mac no more.
Fine. Dude, you go through a laptop every single week. For those of you who are listening, every single week there's a different laptop in here. Darren can't stay with the same thing. Every single time it's, I like this one better. It's a weekly occurrence.
That is true. That is true. I do go through them. But it's not, well, it's funny. I used to go through a lot of laptops because, as my past would say, I'm hard on my electronics. But
you throw them. You get angry with your bets. I get it.
Nah, that would be a good reason too, but no, it's not because of that. Just I do a lot of work on it, and I don't mind it. If it overheats, it overheats, but that's just the way it is.
I've never heard something sound more sketchy than that. Like looking up stuff maybe you're not supposed to, maybe a little, then saying, yeah, my laptop, I use it for a lot of work. It overheats.
Well, look,
come
look,
on, well, first Darren.
Of all, Sterling, I'm not afraid of my history and my past. I tell people all the time I used to sell DVDs. So.
But you're afraid of your browsing history is what you're saying. I get it.
Oh, no. My browsing history is what it is. But, no, I'm saying that, people used to frown on people who used to sell movies and stuff. But, man, I used to sell them DVDs back in the day, man. You know, you get
– slanging those things.
I was slanging them 5 for $20, you know what I'm saying? And there was a time – look, there was a time when the Chiefs were horrible. I was able to get Chief tickets off. I'm like, hey, you buy 5 movies, you get 2 free Chief tickets. They were bad, man. So people didn't want the movies, but they wanted the Chief tickets, so they bought movies anyway. So it worked in my favor regardless.
Let's start off really quickly since you said you're doing better than Hunter Dozier. For those of you that did not see, Royals are playing the White Sox right now in the first game of a doubleheader. Dozier hits a pop-up to the catcher. Abreu's trying to charge in from first base. Dozier's trying to get around Yasmani Grandal. They're not running full speed, but they have a collision. Dozier and Abreu both go down. Both have to be helped off. Can't get off the field under their own power. Not looking good for both those guys. I would assume maybe even IL stints for both of them. Doesn't look good. I mean, these are both big human beings. If you don't know who Jose Abreu is, he's about 6'4". I don't know, like 260. And we all know Dozier's a big guy himself. Again, they weren't on a full-on sprint, which was lucky, but they were still moving in, didn't pay attention, and they just jacked each other.
I wonder why players don't talk after on the field to avoid those type of collisions and things like that. Again, I didn't see the actual play, but just going off of your description.
Opposite teams, though, man. I mean, it's the first baseman charging in. I don't know how Dozier's not paying a little bit more attention. I don't know what he's looking at.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, the extent of his injury. We do hope he's feeling much better. What's the score?
2-1. Michael Taylor, of all people, hit a home run, drove in Jorge Soler. He hit a home run to right field. It was a wall scraper, barely got out, but it got out to right field. So Royals lead 2-1 over the White Sox in the first game of the doubleheader.
What inning are they in?
End of second.
For the first game. Okay. So you're saying there's still a chance that they could lose this, right?
Oh, more than likely. They're going to somehow blow it. Somehow Wade Davis will come in and give up like a 6th spot in the 6th inning.
Now, before we go further on, I got to ask Sterling, what are the weekend plans? And please don't tell me you're going to be on the golf course.
No, it's going to be raining. I'm going down to my girlfriend's parents' house. They live hours south in Mound City, So shout out to anyone from small towns down south, southern Kansas. We're going to hang out. It's cousin's graduation down there for her cousin. So a lot of graduation stuff going on.
Yeah, I got to watch my daughter run tonight. She runs in the SEC championships. She runs the 755 and the 400. It's FaceTime earlier today. She told me, oh, well, I've already qualified, so I couldn't like bribe her to try to do good to win or at least to play so she can get to the finals and get to the regionals, whatever. She said she had to qualify for that. So if I was her, I wouldn't have said that because she could have got some free money out of me. But thankfully she did, so she saved me some money. So I'm going to watch her run tonight, and then she runs a 4x4 tomorrow as well. So hopefully she'll get a chance to medal up or whatever in the SEC championships this weekend, and then we'll just go and see what she does. If she qualifies for nationals still, I think I'm going to have to try to do the show from Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, nice. I know where Eugene, Oregon. It's
well, it's in Oregon.
Well, I know, but that's where I was close to where I flew up to for that golf trip I took in November.
Oh.
That was close. It's about an hour away from Bandon Dunes.
My only problem is because it'll
is
be
that
so
where Oregon is at? University of or Oregon State? Close by? There's some college up there.
I just know it's in Oregon, man. You're asking me is Oregon in Oregon. I would assume so. But, look, I don't know. I guess when you start talking, I'm going to look and see how much, if any, are tickets if Southwest flies up there because I'm going to need to find out right away. Because if she qualifies for national, I think I'm going to have to try to go up there for that. So.
Well, congratulations to – that's fantastic, man.
I don't want to congratulate just yet, man.
I'll say this. Who was faster? Were you faster than her or she faster than you ever were?
Yeah, of course I was faster. What kind of stuff is that? Why would you ask me that question?
She's potentially going to these all these qualifiers, all this badass stuff. How do I know?
My freshman in college. I'm faster just
right now.
Well,
Darren.
Not right now.
You ain't telling me that with a straight face.
No. But you asked me who was faster. I'm thought you were thinking about time or something. I mean, I was faster when I was younger. Yeah, I was faster. You know, she might. You know, she might
pull
have
the tapes.
What?
Pull the tapes.
Man, you gonna make me cuss? I ain't gotta pull no damn tape. I know how fast I was. You know, and now that I think
was
about
that
it,
in your dreams or was that?
Nah, dude, I ran for Central. Dude, you know, we used to win championships back in the day when I was younger. Ooh, thank goodness these tickets are high, which means I don't have to worry about going. So, okay, moving on. Sterling, you know, this weekend we have. The NBA Hall of Fame. We normally don't talk NBA this early in the season, but next week, of course, we got the we do have the playing games next week, but this upcoming weekend, get a chance to honor Kobe Bryant one last time. Michael Jordan will be presenting him to the Hall of Fame. He'll also be presenting LSU's former Baylor head coach Kim Mulkey as well. The big fundamental Tim Duncan goes in as well as Tamika Catching, as well as Kevin Garnett. I got a chance to be on the Zoom press conference for the Hall of Fame with them earlier. It was from 1 to 2:30. I got off around 2:00 so I could get out here. But, you know, Tim Duncan still to this day, humble dude, shy dude, nice dude. Just
did he have those extra long jean shorts on? You know when he first won?
No. He had on pants, but he had some. Yeah, he got dreads. He got the little. I don't know what you call it.
How has he gotten better dressed as he's gotten older? When he was younger,
he's
looked
got
like
time on his hands.
He looked like a dad at a cookout. He had like those New Balances, you know, like those white New Balances like every dad has, like when they mow the lawn. Those jean shorts, which
he's got a lot of time on his hands. You know, I had my hand raised, but they only had so many. It was about 75 of us on the Zoom call. Not everybody had their hand raised, but they only got a few. Got to a few of us on there. The question I wanted to ask Tim Duncan, which, you know, probably would have had him give a nice, soft-spoken, long, dry answer, but he's one of the last few players that could have been and would have been the number one pick his sophomore year, junior year, before coming out his senior, staying off 4 years. I would have liked to have had a chance to ask him, would he have had any regret coming out earlier in his career, knowing he would still be the number one draft pick, or did he enjoy his college career and the college experience that much that coming out 4 years helped make him to be the Hall of Fame player who he is today?
He would probably point to his back and say he must have loved college because the only tattoo he has is that huge Deacon Demon on his back. I always thought he – I never thought he had a tattoo. I never thought he had a tattoo, and he.
Well, you have someone without a shirt on, I guess.
Well, yeah, because he has that big one, the Wake Forest Deacon Demon on his back. So he must have obviously loved college.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a. I think if that had been good though, if he just would have turned around on the Zoom, lifted his shirt up, and said, "I got you."
Yeah, and then and you know I wanted to ask Kevin Garnett because you know he's from Malden, South Carolina. Why are you raising your hand?
Salvi, three-run bomb.
Okay, but why are you raising your hand, Sterling?
I mean, three-run bomb. I'm stoked. The Royals are not losing. They're actually winning a game right now. Sorry for getting excited.
Well, you get excited, but you're raising your hand like anybody can see you, like you need permission to speak.
I'm raising your – well, that, I put the three up as in like a three-pointer.
Oh, well, I couldn't see. You had the
three-run three-run bomb.
Don't, okay.
So I was like, boom.
Gotcha. Yeah, Royals are 5-1. They just struck Solera or someone. But going back, Kevin Garnett, kid from born in Malden, South Carolina, moved over to Chicago, played at Southside Farragut, you know, Chicago Farragut. My cousin played against him. My cousin played with him in the McDonald's All-American game and the Magic Johnson Roundball Classic in 95. They both played on the same team together. They were in the Nike All-American camp their sophomore, junior, and senior year. So they, you know, they got to be close. But I would have wanted to get the opportunity to ask them if I could have, but they didn't call on me. You know, whether or not, even though everything worked out the way it did, what was the deciding factor that showed him that he could, A, go from high school and play against NBA players in the NBA his rookie year, but also did he have any regrets about not going to college? And if so, if he could have gone to college, what college would he have gone to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
yeah, I'm good at this. But yeah,
it's fun seeing these players because for me, this was my like generation growing up as a kid.
Yeah,
these were the guys that I watched and you would emulate in the driveway. They all had their own signature shots, which was kind of fun. Tim Duncan's was the most boring. That was the bank shot. But, I mean, they all had their signature shots. I mean, this was the same generation as Dirk having, you know, the high arcing, one-legged. You had Kobe Bryant with the fadeaway. I mean, you had even this generation was, I think, a big gap, or not a big gap, a big bridge from older style basketball to today's newer. They added the flair. I mean, Allen Iverson came in with just so much difference than the past. Everyone was so, this is business, this is what it is. Allen Iverson brought his own flair to it. These guys all brought their own flair to the game. They made lifelong fans, like myself, from how they brought their intensity and their own style to the game.
When you look back in, I was looking at this as I was on the Zoom call with Garnett, and like I said, he and my cousin played in McDonald's All-America, which was in St. Louis. I was going back looking at the list, and these players haven't made it to the Hall of Fame yet, but they have an opportunity. Vince Carter just retired this year or last year, so he'll be there. Vince Carter played in that game. He won the, he was dunking out the gym in that game. On the same team as my cousin and Kevin Garnett, it was Chauncey Billups. Billups,
yeah.
Now.
Big shot.
Yeah, but he had a shoulder injury, didn't play in that game. And then Paul Pierce also played in that game as well. You know, so, and then, of course, you know, other players you had. Robert Tractor Truth, Stephon Marbury,
sure.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim. I mean, there was a lot of...
Guess what my first basketball jersey ever was? Sharif Abdul-Rahim. It was Atlanta Hawks old school throwback. You know that lime green with the turquoise blue piping?
Yep.
Yeah, that was me in like sixth grade rocking a Sharif Abdul-Rahim jersey.
And what's crazy is that my first basketball jersey was my cousin, so that was pretty good. But also in that game, because we used to talk about it before, Guy Sham Guy Wells. You know,
dude.
I mean, the dude, the handles. Dude had some man-sized hands, man.
He went to Providence, I think.
Yep, went to Providence, yeah. But 6-foot guard out of New York City had man-sized hands. And, you know, and it's funny because you'd think he was in New York, Stephon's in Brooklyn. I don't know whether or not they ever went up against each other, stuff like that. Another cat that played in the game, Ron Mercer. I mean, he was...
Dude, I forgot about Ron Mercer. Yeah, he played in the NBA for a while.
He was a killer, yeah. I mean, won a national title next year as a freshman with... and his teammate, Wayne Turner. They won a national title with Antoine Walker and them in 96. That team...
Antoine Walker may have been the most inefficient all-star of all time, by the way. We always joke about it. If you ever... Yeah. Beards and I... You know how Beards is a big basketball... nerd back there, love beards. And he always, we always look back at the All-Star seasons of Antoine Walker. The way the game has evolved and changed, it's hilarious.
I will say the only player who did not deserve to be on that All-Star, on the All-American team, but was only on it because it was in St. Louis, was Ryan Robertson. He ended up, of course, playing at Kansas, but he wasn't an All-American.
The one thing with God Sham God, just going back to it, how badass, you have your own move named after you, the Sham God.
Yeah.
When you throw it out in front of them, bring it back, you make dudes look stupid with it. How many players have their own move named after you? Like the step back, we all know James Harden does a step back, but it's not called the Harden. It's not called this. God Sham God's move is literally called the Sham God.
You got that. You got Moss being Randy Moss, Mossified.
Yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
Not.
I'm thinking basketball. I'm just thinking.
No, I'm just saying in general. People who've got their own.
Sure,
it's hard to. I don't think even Jordan has his own move. You know. That is,
no one calls it the Jordan. I mean, yeah. the tongue sticking out, kind of, you know, or maybe the up and under when you switch hands on a layup, which, by the way, he didn't need to do. He didn't need to do to switch hands.
Show off.
It was cool.
But nah, you know,
Kobe
seriously.
Had his, because Kobe was the kind of fadeaway as you yell Kobe. That was kind of his thing.
Or the Mamba mentality. Okay, I'll give you Kobe because I don't think I ever really said Kobe.
Well,
but,
my generation, when you were growing up and you're in school and you had a piece of paper and you had to throw it in the trash, you yelled Kobe. It's what you did.
Okay, then I'll give it to him. So Kobe, Sham God, and Randy Moss, I think the only ones that actually have something named after them.
It's sweet. Like, that's just awesome. And he didn't even play in the NBA. He didn't play in the NBA that long. I don't know if he made it.
Who?
God Sham God. I thought he may have gotten drafted. I don't know much about his NBA career. I just know he was.
He did. He was in the second. Yeah, actually, he played 12 years.
In the NBA?
Yeah, he was. He was drafted. He was drafted by the Wizards, played 2 years in his professional playing career.
He probably went overseas.
Years.
And stuff, yeah,
he played overseas. So, yeah, he only played with the Washington Wizards, and then after that, he played overseas. So.
He reminds me, but not to the same of. Skip to my Lou, Rafer Alston. Wasn't that Rafer Alston, Skip to my Lou, the and-one tour?
Yeah. I mean, this is...
Man, who would have thought we'd be talking about Rafer Alston on this show right now, but we are. I love it.
Man, and I'm just sitting there looking at some of these teams, man, from the, you know, when these cats were in school. I mean, like I said, my cousin Hood made the Parade All-American team both his junior and senior. His junior year, he made the fourth team, and he was on there with Chauncey Billups. And then his senior year, he made the second team with Chauncey Billups. But again, you know, but the guy, like I said, Ron Mercer was a beast because he Stephon Marbury, and I think those he Stephon Marbury and Kevin Garnett, they both made the first team, their first and second year. But the kid, hey man, but I tell you, I don't know. I'm sorry we got off on the NBA, but it is what it is. The kid that should have gone to the NBA, instead he went to college instead, and he should have went the year before, and he should have been the first kid before, or the first player before Kevin Garnett, was Felipe Lopez.
Oh, I forgot. Did he go pro?
I mean, he went pro, but but his pro career never materialized. Like, he went to, he played at Rice High School. Like, he was the best player. Like, he was a 6'5". Shooting guard he was labeled the Dominican Michael Jordan. Like, the dude came to KU for a recruiting visit. Like, folk from KU treated dude like he was a rock star, and it's funny because
he played very sparingly in the NBA. He played a lot, looks like, overseas.
Yeah,
or at least
the problem was because I think he ended up. I think he ended up with, he was with Vancouver, and he got drafted by the Spurs in the first round.
Yeah.
But just when he was really about to take off, I think he suffered an injury that could have been with the Timberwolves that he wasn't really able to come back from. And just when he was, but like I said, yeah, he was considered a Dominican Michael Jordan. And that dude, and like I said, I don't really know what made him so good in high school, but. Man, but the dude was.
I just still can't believe Rafer Alston made it to the NBA after being on the N1 tour. I mean, think of—I used to love the N1 tour. That was also huge.
Yeah.
I met the creator of the N1 tour. Dude's awesome. It is still kind of going around a little bit, and they still have their own stuff. And, you know, they had their own clothing brand and line for a long time. To think that a guy from the N1 tour made it to the NBA and had a very long, successful NBA career, to me, is always blows my mind.
Man.
I mean, you know how impressive that is to go from, you know, street ball to the NBA? It's so different.
Oh, yeah. No. I know exactly what you mean. I mean, but like I said, man, these – dude, there were some cats, man, when I was coming up that you just thought that they would make it to the NBA and that they would have a great career. Dude, I can name players like, look, we all know about Jerron Rush, and we know, you know, we know exactly what he was when he was in high school. But, you know, he played on a squad with a kid called Corleone Young. Like, they were literally 1-2. Like, they
His
were teaming.
Coolio?
Corleone Young.
Oh, I thought you said cool, like LL Cool J. I was like, that's awesome.
Nah, Corleone Young. Like they were teammates on the AAU squad, and they were ranked number one, number two, going into their senior season. So like literally, their freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, they were like the top two players in the country, and they were both on the same squad. And then of course you had Kareem Rush and his brother on the squad. Like, you would try to figure out, you notice how they never really lost games. But I tell you, man, other players, like, people forget, like, there were high school or NBA players that were like two sport All-American athletes. Allen Iverson, people forget the dude was an all-state All-American football quarterback. And do you remember a guy named Ronald Curry?
No.
He was an All-American basketball player, but he was considered, when he came out of high school, as the best high school quarterback to ever play. Like, the dude started freshman year, and I can't remember if he ever lost a game in high school. And the thing is, he went to the same high – I think he was from the same city as Allen Iverson. They're from Hampton, Virginia. The dude
– was he at the bowling alley?
No, he went at the bowling alley. And, man, the dude was a first-team All-American in both basketball and football. You don't do that, dude. You don't do that. He ended up being the starting quarterback and the starting point guard at the University of North Carolina.
That's impressive. You don't see that, like, ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was so Michael Vick, you know, they were in the same district and stuff. I mean, so he was one of those guys that, like I said, he was considered one of the greatest Virginia high school athletes ever, where he won three consecutive state titles and won a state title in basketball. So, I mean, that's the type of players that were coming up in that era. That was my era, of course, but my era. But now he coaches with the New Orleans Saints, Ronald Curry, and he's cool. A quarterback's coach, which he should be. Yeah, I don't know what, you know. But he got drafted in the NFL. He got drafted by the Oakland Raiders, played 6 years there. But it just, I don't know, man. He was ahead of his time, the type of athlete, quarterback that he was. That if he was around today, oh.
It's funny though sometimes how top high school guys who you think are can't miss prospects just can't cut it once they get to the big time. And I think some of
it. But you know, you know what that is before you go, and I'll let you give it. I think some of it is the system that they're coming in and the coaches. I just, you know, so sometimes I think they get caught up in the college versus whether or not the system fits. Because to that point,
I think just
Chris Lee.
I think the majority of it is they've never had to try before. They've always been the best.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, no, they've always been the best. They've always been the most athletic, or they've always been the greatest. They've always been talked about up like this. They can do no wrong. And then they get to a place where other guys are great. Maybe not. They don't have the complete talent that they had, but they find a way to get it done. We've seen it time and time again. Like, Jamarcus Russell is a perfect example of someone who, oh, he's a can't-miss prospect. Ryan Leaf, can't-miss prospect. They didn't really have to try. They didn't study the film. They didn't go to all the practices because they're like, we never had to before. We let our natural talent rise to the top. And I think we see that a lot with these top high school guys. They all of a sudden say, holy bleep, I'm no longer the biggest, the baddest dude here. and it catches up to them. I think that happens a lot more, and that's why we don't see a lot of these top high school prospects succeed in the major levels.
Well, the reason why I was going when I talked about Ronald Curry was going with Chris Leak, because again, Chris Leak, he was at that time, of course, came a little bit later after Ronald mm-hmm. Curry. He was considered the best probably high school quarterback in North Carolina because he had broke, I think, national career records, passing records. I know he broke the state record. He threw for over like almost 16,000 yards. He as a freshman, he led his team to 3 state titles. When he was in high school, and he chose Florida, but the coach that was down at the time was Ron Zook, and he kind of floundered underneath. I mean, you know, I don't think he started his freshman year, but I know he eventually took over. He took over some position, but it wasn't until Urban Meyer came in there that he won that. He won a national title. I think it was his senior year, and that was, of course, Tim Tebow's, I think, freshman or he may have been a sophomore or freshman there, but you know he did win a national title. But it was just that again, you know. Florida was known to be a passing school, you know, sure. But, you know, has Steve Spurrier been down there and he's there? I think he becomes the number one draft pick because Steve Spurrier, as a former Heisman quarterback coach, would have been able to utilize Chris Leak and his talent. Ron Zook wasn't really that type of coach like that, and he goes down and kind of flounders, and then, of course, Urban Meyer comes in senior year. He leads them to a national title. Now, again, doesn't really have, He doesn't really go to the NFL at all. So it was like, you know, his career, you could say what was a bust, but that's just to your point where you say quarterbacks or players who are highly ranked or whatever going to and not making it to the next level. To that point, and I know we'll talk about it on the other side of this break, we got a chance to talk to 3 of the rookies today. I think it was the top 3 rookies that the Chiefs drafted today.
Bolton, Creed, and was Kando. The lineman.
Yeah.
Joshua Kando.
Joshua Kando. And so.
Are we saying his name right? His last name? Any idea?
I think it's Kando. I believe it's Kando. That's what they said on
the That's what I've been saying this entire time, and I feel like I'd be an idiot if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
No, but, you know, but I did get a chance to ask all 3 a question, and, you know, I did tell Joshua that I'm excited to see him play. I kind of said that out there.
Just, you said, "Hey, Josh, or my co-host thinks that you're going
to." I started to do that, but I didn't want to give you that type of shine, you know, on the Chief presser like that, because then they wouldn't call on me again.
Yeah, they'd say your co-host is an ass.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree on that particular topic.
I wouldn't disagree either. Yeah, I get it.
But here's what I say. Nice guy, and I. I think the Chiefs got these rookies scared, man. It's like they cram with so much stuff and the media stuff on how to answer questions from the media. It's like, you know, you like barbecue? Yes, Kansas City has great barbecue. I've had Jack Sack and Arthur Bryson. Man, I mean, I can't pick no winners or losers.
Yeah.
Okay, smart. You know, that's cool. You know, what have you learned about being here in Kansas City? That it's Missouri. We say, if you say Missouri, not Kansas. Smart man.
You know what's funny, though? Mecole Hardman was, when I still remember when he was a rookie, he was about the one guy who would give non-scripted answers. You know how most rookies, they have the speak where they try to be not ruffle any feathers. Mecole Hardman would be like, oh, damn, that's awesome. Like, he would give, like, long – Mecole Hardman, I still remember, was, like, the one guy you'd be like, all right, he's not been taught yet to not only say one-word answers and not give anything away. Mecole was always fun.
Let's do this, because I do want to talk about those rookies on the other side of the break. We're going to take a quick timeout. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. I am so excited for the Chiefs next year. Just seeing the offensive line overhaul, seeing that, and I just today I was thinking, I was like, Russell Wilson has been running for his life for years, been asking for help on the offensive line. They've done nothing. Mahomes has one game where he runs for his life. Just one. When everyone was hurt, by the way, it's not like that was what they started off with to begin with. That was one game where the offensive line was hurt. And they go, all right, scrap it. We're starting from scratch. We're doing everything again. We're rebuilding this thing. It's crazy how the Chiefs have put in value in protecting and making their number one investment happy, while organizations like Seattle, I know Green Bay is different by not having a traditional owner, but still,
I don't even think it's more so of making a quarterback happy. I just think it's just obvious that that's what you need to do. But to your point though, I don't want to keep giving kudos to the front office because it becomes redundant.
Sure.
But you got to, because literally with what you said, with Russell Wilson running around for his life week after week after week, Kansas City has it in one game. Now, granted, it was at the worst possible moment on the biggest stage possible, so the whole world saw it to where, yeah, you know, you might get X amount of million viewers seeing a Seahawks game that don't pay that type of attention till you get Super Bowl, you got 100-plus million. Now it's like, sure. Oh, damn, we in trouble. We've got to address this. I mean, this is, again, getting a chance to talk with Creed Humphrey and, of course, Joshua Kando. You know, for me, they are in a situation that a lot of rookies don't have the opportunity to be blessed with. Yeah. And they got drafted to a great organization from top to bottom. You get a chance to where you're not pressure to just be thrust into the starting lineup right away, if possible. You know, if you play that way, if you practice and you get there, okay, so be it. But that being the case, you're Creed Humphrey. You've played with Orlando Brown for a year. So you know what you're getting with him. But the fact that you can learn more from him about the transition to the NFL, you get a chance to learn with Joe Thuney, Austin Blythe, the doctor, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Mike Remmers, and then, of course, competing against, you know, with the other players, that Kyle Long, you can get a chance to work from him, Nick Allegretti, Lucas Niang, you kind of get a chance to just, you know, kind of pick his brain some, or you all pretty much coming in as rookies together, first-year players together. I mean, you are so lucky, and you're with a winning organization, so they're going to be doing things the right way. And so a lot of rookies don't have this opportunity to where you get drafted to a perennial playoff Super Bowl quality type team. You don't have the pressure that you would if you're like, you know, one of these top draft picks that, you know, a lot is going to be made of what you do this upcoming season. And you get a chance to play along and learn from veterans who are willing to help you come along because you help make their job better. Yeah. And so, you know, we talk about Joshua Kando. I mean, I asked him on the Zoom, like, you know, you get a chance to practice daily in the near future with a Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Jan Reed. I mean, and that's going to help you become a better player after dealing with, you know, different coaching transitions year in and year out while you're at Florida State. And now you'll have a steady coach that you can learn from and players that can help make you a better player. And so just, you know, just their responses, you know, and their acknowledgement that, yes, that they're in a great situation and that they're happy to be a part of this team. And then I think I asked Nick Bolton, you know, what it meant for him to put on that Chief jersey and play for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, and, you know, for him, it's like waking up every morning playing for a world-class organization and getting a chance to prove his skills and prove that he deserves to be playing at this level with these players. I mean, you couldn't script it better if you tried.
Yeah. The not every single organization is created the same.
Yeah.
Not every situation that a player gets drafted to is going to be the same. We talk about it all the time, how quarterbacks a lot of times can get downtrodden, discouraged early. For example, think of Josh Rosen, top 10 draft pick.
And his career is over.
I know it. Yeah, exactly. And we know Arizona's good now, but when they drafted him, that was one of the worst organizations in the NFL at that point.
Hell, Sam Darnold. I mean,
Sam, you know, Darnold with the Jets.
Sam Darnold, to his credit, gets a second chance to make a first impression.
And some guys just straight up flounder. Like Trubisky was not good.
Trubisky never had a chance. Even the two times he took the team to the playoffs, he never had a chance because they never wanted him. I mean, the fans never wanted him. They never bought into him.
He had a chance better than a lot of other quarterbacks, and he didn't show enough, in my opinion, because Matt Nagy was coach of the year that one year. He was, whether we like to admit it or not, he was coach of the year that year. And Trubisky was a fill-in Pro Bowler that same season. But when you look back at it, you go, what was the difference? He was running. It's not like he was making these phenomenal throws. Trubisky, I just don't think, had the talent. I think some people – and the moral of the story is Kansas City is a fantastic organization where it's easy to tell if players will succeed or flounder because they have the organizational structure – that allows success to rise to the top.
And the other part to that is that when you're Trubisky, it's hard because I don't know if it was his rookie year or second year that they made to the playoffs. I think it was his second year. Am I correct on that, Sterling? I think it was the second year because he made it 2 years. I think it was the second year because I think that's when they acquired Khalil Mack.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I gotta pull it up. But the reason why I say that is because his downfall wasn't really his play, but the fact of the two quarterbacks that came after him, both Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. When you look at his rookie year, man, I gotta check that out right quick because that's Mitchell Trubisky. When I look at, you know, yeah, I got to see where he, if he played his rookie year or not. He never should have been starting. Okay, so yeah, so he started his rookie year, but he started 12 games. So I think he came in after the first four games when he might have got hurt. But
who was
they
the
were four
Bears
and
court? It was like Mike Glennon.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So they were 4-8. So it was the second year. So his problem was that his rookie year. Deshaun Watson, before he got injured, played better his rookie year before he got injured than what he did. And then the second year, even though they made it to the playoffs, you look and see what Patrick Mahomes did, winning the MVP, throwing 50 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, 5,000 yards, and what Deshaun Watson did. And you're like, okay. And then you see what your quarterback is doing. You're like, eh. And then you see what they do the next year. They both make it back to the playoffs, and they both make, you know, Mahomes making it to the Super Bowl, and you're looking at your quarterback, and we're 8-7. Now you got a problem. And then you look at this fourth year, Patrick Mahomes leads the team to another Super Bowl, and you're 6-3, and, you know, he gets benched for Nick Foles, comes back in. You know, nobody ever really bought into him.
And I'm not doing this for anything. I just think it's kind of interesting. I would like to look at what the Bears' record has been since he's been the starting quarterback and the Texans' record since Deshaun's been the starting quarterback. We all know Deshaun's a better quarterback, but I think that'd be an interesting thing to look at because I bet the records are very similar even if Deshaun has gone to the playoffs more often. That 4-12 season last year just really
their record killed him. Trubisky is 29-1, 29-21. Deshaun Watson is 28-25.
Don't get me wrong. The Bears have had a lot better defense. I think they have a better organizational structure than the Texans. We know Deshaun's better, but it is a little interesting to see the fact that Trubisky has won decent amount.
Well, the other thing is you got to remember Deshaun Watson is rookie year. He only played 6 games versus 12 for Trubisky. So. I'm saying, making that as it will, like he played the first 6 games and then was out the rest of the season when he tore his ACL versus a quarterback who played 12 games and I think came in, you know.
So. I just think it's interesting because we have, and right, I think we do, Deshaun's a top 5, potentially top 3 quarterback, a franchise altering quarterback.
But one other thing, don't forget, last year, remember, they gave up DeAndre Hopkins. So
sure.
they had nothing. He had nothing to play. He had nothing
sure.
to work with. They went 4-12. So.
Yeah. No, I just think it's interesting because Trubisky's probably – he's backing up someone now. He went to Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, your guy, Josh.
Yeah,
so,
he's backing up Josh Allen.
I can never understand because Josh Allen has to get hurt for you to ever come in.
Well, no team's going to use him as a starter.
You ain't.
I mean, no team is going to pick up Trubisky as a starter. I think it's a good fit for him. Ride under the spotlight for a little bit. Maybe if he gets lucky, he can have a Ryan Tannehill situation because they're
similar styles. You can say the same about Josh Rosen. I think didn't he end up in Miami or something?
He was in Miami. Maybe Tennessee. He's bounced around already.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't been 4 years. I mean, I guess this is like his fourth year because he came in the draft with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and the other guy, right? Lamar Jackson.
Lamar was with Mahomes. That was that draft. He was 32nd. Was that year after? He was 32nd.
No, that was the year after. He's in the same draft class as Baker Mayfield.
He's with the Niners now. Josh Rosen, according to Wikipedia right now, is with the Niners, which I would not have guessed.
I wouldn't either, man. We could have bet some money on that. I would have never got that one.
I was guessing East Coast. I was thinking like Buccaneers or something like that. I was thinking maybe still Miami. It's just crazy how some guys, well, even to an extent of Drew Lock, have gotten longer leashes. And then guys like Josh Rosen, right away, just can't. It's like, I don't know if they see stuff in practice. Because it's not like Rosen has a lot of tape on him in the NFL. It's like he's played a lot of games.
Dude, and check this out. Last year, he was on Tampa Bay's practice squad.
That's what it was, Tampa Bay.
And got signed to the 49ers. Like, if he hadn't got signed to the 49ers, he'd had a Super Bowl ring.
Did he still not get one for the practice squad? Do you think just even
– No, because he signed with the 49ers on December 23rd because they had injuries to Garoppolo and Mullins, and they signed him. I mean, so he was active for their final two games. So, yeah, he went on the playoff round. That's crazy. Like, had you just been like, nah, I'm gonna just ride this thing out. Of course, he didn't know that they were going to go on and run into Super Bowl. But, you know, in hindsight, I'd be kicking myself. Practice squad or not, I want that bling.
Yeah, dude, who cares? It's it counts.
You know, yeah. Thirty years from now,
you still have that ring. No one cares 30 years from now if you're on the practice squad, if you're a bench guy.
It's funny. A lot of people keep thinking that Steve Young has only won one Super Bowl. He's won three. He backed up. And the other guy.
I mean, Priest Holmes won one with the Ravens.
Well, he started though. Didn't he start? Or was it Jamal Adams?
I think he was a rookie. That was like early on.
Yeah. So but Priest also played too. He played well. Wow, that's crazy, man. The fact that this dude that's interesting. That's interesting to say the least. But no, the year they won the Super Bowl, he started two games. Priest only started two games that year. But he played in all 16 games.
There you go.
Yeah, that's. And then he came to camp, and it's funny. He parlayed that into a nice little successful career in Kansas City. So,
very successful career.
Yeah.
Very successful career.
He had more success in Baltimore. He did win the Super Bowl.
I got a little nervous over here.
Why?
Not nervous. I got interested. I saw a headline that said Matt Nagy to miss start of rookie minicamp, and I go, is he getting canned?
He's got COVID, I think.
COVID-19 close contact.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he's, you know.
Well, I thought it was going to be something more I thought it was going to be, oh, he's getting held back. He might get canned.
You're right about that. But look, going back to Chiefs, the rookie minicamp is this weekend. There will be some media out there. They're still doing the tier system, even though the mayor has, mayor and of course CDC, they've pretty much, if you've been vaccinated, you know, kind of say, hey, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. It's going to depend on, you know, the different organizations and businesses if they decide they want you to have a mask on or not. According to the Chiefs, they have to wait until they get word from the NFL and Players Association that once they kind of give the green light, we'll be welcome back to practices and stuff like that. I'm going to have to put a call into DeMores like, hey, bro, I'm going to need you to, you know, need you and Goodell to hurry up and get this thing going, man, so we can get back to normal. So I can get back out to chief practice and stuff and then come out here with a nice little report.
You do that because St. Joe is a far drive for me.
You weren't going to St. Joe nowhere still. So
I'm not driving 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good tax write-off. Hey, I'm fine. It's a good tax write-off. I will say this, though. I don't drive up there every day. You know, Steve and I, we alternate. So we'll ride together, but I'll drive one day. He'll drive. I'll meet him at his place, and he'll drive the next.
Pick me up. Swing by.
Dude, you first of all, you got to get credentials, Sterling. You got to get, I mean, that's the first thing.
I'll get Lebo.
That's not happening. Lebo's not doing that.
Lebo's doing it.
Lebo's trying to be up there, too. Lebo's trying to get back into
Lebo
the mix.
Lebo doesn't want to go up there.
Well, because we're not partners with him, probably, but, you know, I mean, it was, well, look, the one thing I like about that was, you know, Chiefs had the little media room, and they always had snacks for us, you know, and Steve and I, you know, when they weren't looking, we just packed our bags with Reese's and Snickers and all the sugar that we didn't need in our life. It was worth it. And then, of course, they would feed us, and, oh, when they fed us right. I'll give them credit. They fed us right, Sterling.
Before we go to break, this is a hell of a headline. Ravens guard Ben Cleveland, nicknamed Big Country, eats squirrels.
Huh?
Yeah. He's fond of eating squirrels.
He's from the country. He's like Shannon Sharp. That's what they used to eat.
Yeah. He says if you don't have any deer meat left in the fridge, you fry up a squirrel or two and eat that. He said when he was a kid, he was sick staying home from school, had biscuits, wanted some meat, so shot a couple squirrels and ate them. Would you eat a squirrel?
No, but first of all, the fact that he was shooting guns while he was in high school as a kid is a scary thought. But, yeah, it is what it is.
Maybe it was, I don't know, airsoft guns. I don't know. I don't have the full report.
You killing a squirrel, you ain't killing a squirrel with no air gun. But nah, I could, you know, I've always tried to figure out, you know, how he did it. Because Shannon Sharp talks about all the time how he used to eat. He ate a lot of that stuff, and I don't have the heart to do it. Like, I always,
I'm out,
because I watched The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, I always think to myself, man, you know, because I saw them, so I remember, so they cooked up a dog and they was eating.
Oh, no, we're taking a break. We're not talking about eat, dude, no. Darren.
We're taking a break.
We're taking a break.
We're talking about dog when we come back.
We ain't talking about that. We're not. We're not. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. We come back. We're talking NBA. We'll talk NBA.
That's fine.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. So no, I'm not going to ever eat a squirrel or any of those other weird animals, Darren. I ain't doing it.
Ah, I don't have a heart for it.
All right, so Royals are up 5-2, bottom fifth, 2 outs in the first game of the doubleheader.
Still 4 innings left. Well, still 2 innings left.
Before we head out of here, a little NBA talk. Are the Knicks really – I got to keep asking because I just looking at their team, I'm like, how are they doing this good? Are the Knicks actually this legit? Is Julius Randle a legitimate superstar? Will they actually be able to make it past, you know, round one in the NBA playoffs?
I believe so, and I will say that – not just Julius Randle, but you got to remember, see, people keep forgetting that R.J. Barrett was considered the best high school player going into college over Zion Williamson when they were at Duke. He was considered the better talent overall better talent. Zion was obviously the biggest superstar, but R.J. Barrett was R.J. Barrett has improved his game just as much so as the New York Knicks did. Now, who do they, you know, will they draw? I think they'll draw
Milwaukee. That's bad. They got.
I mean, you know,
they ain't beat Milwaukee. They're not going
to
beat Milwaukee.
You don't have to beat them, but I put it like this, man. Nobody expected the Knicks to be good this year. Okay, let's keep that in mind. And so, you know, it's one thing when you're playing one team and then you're moving on to another team. Even though this year, you know, you have some back to back games, or whatever. But the fact that you get a chance to play this team 4 games, potentially 7. I mean, anything can happen, man. And to me, that's going to be the most exciting thing, especially when you get to playing games next week leading to, you know, the playoffs. I mean, this is going – I'm about to go to the casino and make some extra money because it's going to be some good games to be betting money on and parlaying.
Them and the Hawks would be good if they can pass Miami, because right now they have the same record. If they can somehow get ahead of Miami and play Atlanta in that 4-5 matchup, then yes, I would like the Knicks, because my gosh, them playing, because how physical they are against a team like the Hawks, who aren't super physical outside of like
Capella. Yeah, but Clint Capella is a big difference.
Outside of Capella. But think of like Trae Young. They're just going to be hounding him the entire
game. Yeah, but Trae Young
game.
At Madison Square Garden.
That just seems like a fun.
With fans.
It seems like a fun matchup there. Well, this was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back live on Monday. Darren, we're out of here.
We out.